Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We will stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into our mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Lord, we thank you for your word. Let it accomplish its purposes this morning in each of our lives. Holy Spirit, just come. Speak to us individually for Jesus' glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're looking at the power of the tongue or the power of our words. Right off here in James, and thank you, by the way, Joanne, for reading that. James gives a sober warning right off the bat here to all teachers and preachers. He says that they'll be given stricter judgment because the words they carry tremendous power to influence people. If a teacher or preacher misleads someone by their teaching with false teachings, it doesn't just affect the teacher, does it? But it affects whoever's listening, whoever hears it. And unfortunately, this is happening all too often in our day and age, even in the church today. There are many teachers that twist and distort the word of God and are misleading many. So, as the body, you and me, we need to be listening to see if what they're saying is true or not. Not just teaching and preaching here, but also as we hear people on the radio, or you're listening to somebody that you're reading on a book, or listening to somebody online that you look up on a website. We need to be sensitive to that small voice of the Holy Spirit to know when someone's teaching something that's not correct. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound teaching. Instead, they will suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Wow. This was written 2,000 years ago, but it's the truth, isn't it? It hasn't changed. That's still happening today. So these verses should put us on high alert to what we take in and what we're listening to what we hear when we hear someone preach or teach. And for those that are teaching and preaching, like myself or some of you, whether it be teaching kids or teaching or preaching, it should put the fear of God into us that what we're saying is the truth. You can't go wrong when you're preaching this, for sure. Verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. None of us is perfect. We all struggle with sin at different times in our lives, in different areas in our lives. But James here is specifically talking about stumbling with our tongue, what we say, the words we say. He says, if we don't stumble with the words we say, then we're mature and able to control the whole body. So if you can control what comes out of your mouth, you're mature. Because if you can control your mouth, that shows spiritual maturity. Just know that what James is saying here is not so much about this muscle, this thing. It's not referring to the physical muscle itself, but he's talking about controlling the words that come out of our mouth. So what is the source of our words? Where do our words actually come from? It doesn't come from this muscle, but where do our words come from? Jesus tells us. Where does Jesus tell us? In Matthew 12:34. Anybody have that one memorized? He says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So what's in our heart is what will come out of our mouths. So if you start listening to what comes out of here, it'll tell you what's in here. Does that make you think? It does me, I tell you that much. And what's in, what comes out of here in a little is in here in abundance, is what he's saying. Wow. James goes on in verses 3 and 4 to give us two illustrations of small things like the tongue that control large objects. The first, of course, is a bit. A bit is small, and it's put in horses' mouths. But it can control the whole horse. This big, hundreds of pounds, thousands of pound horse is controlled by this small, tiny bit. He also gives us the image of a ship and the rudder. A rudder in a ship is not very big, but without that rudder, it is directionless and just can go wherever. So without the bit and without the rudder, these larger objects can run amok, right? Can you imagine trying to ride a horse without a reins and a bit and so forth, or controlling a ship without a rudder? Disaster is what's looking to happen, right? And that's what happens when we don't control our mouths and the words that come out of it. Disasters come in the wake of it. We have all fallen victim to somebody for saying some words that they weren't controlling their mouth, right? We've all been hurt. Some of us hurt severely by careless words of others. James says in verse 7 or 8, "Every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Wow. He doesn't mince words, does he? It sounds hopeless, doesn't it? But it's not. When he says, no man can tame the tongue, what's he talking about? Who can tame the tongue? God, the Holy Spirit in us, can bring that under control and under his control. But we need to cooperate with him. Yes. We need to submit to him, and he's our helper. So we need him to help us to control our tongues and control our thoughts and control the things in our hearts so that wrong things don't come out. King David knew this. I've prayed this prayer more than once for myself, I'm telling you now. Psalm 141, verse 3. This is David's prayer. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." He's saying, "O Lord, help me to say only things you want me to say." How'd we sing in the song? "Take my words and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. The things that come out, let them be consecrated and controlled by the Holy Spirit." "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." James in verse 9 of this chapter says, "With it we bless our Lord, our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in his image. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives and a grapevine bear figs?" The obvious answer is no. The point James is making here by these verses is that the tongue is notoriously inconsistent. And all you need to do is listen to people speak. We can speak good things and blessings and encouragement to people and then turn around and curse people. This curses that they're talking about here does not mean using God's name in vain. It's not swearing, is that kind of cursing. It is a word curse. We learned this with cleansing streams. It's the opposite of a spoken blessing. You can actually speak negative words over another person's life which those words can bring harm and take the effect of a curse. Spoken curses have power. They are most powerful from those who speak it to us who are in authority over us. People in authority over us. Could be a parent, a teacher, a coach, and even happens with elders or pastors. Usually the people that speak these curses don't know they're doing it. Most of them just are in the heat of the moment, situation comes up, and negative stuff comes out, but they are powerful, and they affect people in many, many ways. Some examples of word curses spoken by a parent to a child could be, "You're such a failure. You can't do anything right. You're so stupid. You're never going to amount to anything in life." The parents don't mean that. They're just frustrated with the kid, but it comes out. Not all these spoken things that are declared over a kid take effect, but sometimes they do. They don't literally always take effect, but when the child believes and receives those words, or whatever the authority figure is speaking to you, if you receive those words, they can become lodged in us, and it's an inroad for the enemy to work. Who's working with that person to say those things? The enemy. And those words are powerful and can become a barrier that brings bad things in that person's life. It's crazy, I know. But it happens. Again, evil spirits or demons become attached to those words, and they reinforce those lies that were spoken to the person. We can actually speak curses over ourselves. I heard of one young lady who was a sibling of a large family of kids, and she was the oldest, and she was frustrated one day for caring for her younger siblings and said, "When I grow up, I'll never have kids." And you know, when she was married, she couldn't become pregnant and didn't know why. And the Lord brought this to her remembrance that she said this over herself. And when she took care of that, she broke that curse she spoke over herself. She conceived. I mean, these things are real. Not everything you say will always do that, but sometimes they do. And we just don't know. And so we don't want to be saying things and speaking things over ourselves or others that could be in the form of a spoken curse. Therefore, we must be very aware of the words we speak and the words we receive from others. Sometimes we need to say, "I'm not receiving that word," and not take it. And then it won't stick to us. This is why James says in verse 6, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it itself set on fire by hell." Wow. He's giving us notice. The enemy wants to use your tongue for his purposes, and we can't give him that opportunity to do that. So just know God wants you to be aware of what's coming out of this. Reread the chapter this during the week. Lastly, as we close here, just know that God is going to hold us accountable for everything we speak and say. Again, this is Jesus' words. This is in red letters, Matthew 12:36. "But I tell you that everyone will give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." Wow. We're going to give an account one day to Jesus about everything that we've spoken. Lastly, Paul says this in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Grace to those who hear. So we're going to have a short video. I went to Skit Guys and found this video. It's not the Skit Guys, but it's through their website, and we're just going to view this. It's 2 minutes long, but it's powerful. I think it'll be good. Thank you.
You don't have a ton of things in common with God, but there is one thing. You speak. So does he. God spoke light into existence with his words. I wonder what you could speak into existence with your words this week. I wonder what kind of love you could speak into your marriage that feels like it's in neutral. I wonder what kind of courage you could speak into the heart of a child who's hurting. I wonder what kind of peace you could speak into your broken friendship. What kind of hope you could speak into your own weary soul. I want you to know that the most powerful words you're going to speak this week is probably not going to be on a stage or a conference call or closing the deal with a client that you want. The most powerful words you're going to speak is probably just with one or two people listening, maybe zero. It's totally possible that the most powerful sentence you'll say this week is a thoughtful text message that you send to a friend who's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the apology email that you finally get the courage to send. It's the whispered prayers through tears in the middle of a dark night. Powerful words aren't just for preachers who stand behind pulpits. They're for parents who stand next to bunk beds. Speak life to their kids. For spouses who share hopes and dreams. Pillow talk, not criticism. For teenagers who stand up to bullies, stand up for the uncool kids. Your tongue is so small, but so powerful. Your tongue is telling a story.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. Help us this week to speak your words, words of hope, words of kindness, words of encouragement, wherever you want us to say them and whoever you want us to say them to. Thank you that you're a God who forgives and cleanses us from past mistakes. Help us guard what comes out of our mouths. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.